The first reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, found in your church Bible 880. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
The second reading continues from verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, welcome to church. My name is Paul, I'm one of the pastors here, and we are in Christmas season, which means we sing carols, and on the screen is a couple of lines from a carol. I don't really ever stopped and thought about the words that you're singing, because they're really quite profound words. This is the last verse of Hark the Herald, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace." So hail him, honor him. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the one who brings us peace with God and peace with ourselves. Hail or honor, bring glory to, magnify the Son of Righteousness, the one who is perfect in all his ways. So we honor him, we magnify him, we praise him. Why? Because light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. That's why he came. I want to unpack that line, light and life to all he brings. Light and life. They are two beautiful words, light and life to all he brings. Light. So Jesus shines light into our dark world. Jesus shines light into your dark life. And life. Not just eternal life. Yes, he gives you eternal life, but life that is truly life. Abundant life that Jesus talks about. That's why Jesus came, to bring you light in your darkness and life that is really life. It's that reading that we had from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Because when you're in darkness, life is beautiful. Light is just refreshing. You know, when you're in a darkened room and you're You're trying to read a book and your arm's getting further and further away, trying to read these words on the page. And someone just comes in and just flicks on a light switch. You go, oh, wow, I can see. Or if you've had those camping experiences where you have that sort of middle of the night need to go to the bathroom and it's pitch black and you're trying to find your way through the darkness into this bathroom cubicle and suddenly someone behind you's got a torch and you go, oh, wow, I can see. Or what do we say? We say there's light at the end of the tunnel. Why do we say that? There's light at the end of the tunnel, which means that this moment of time that you're in this situation, it will not continue, that there's good times coming, is going to be okay. So light is a beautiful word because it brings you hope and it brings you purpose and wisdom and clarity and you can see clearly. And our world needs light. Because like those people that Isaiah wrote to, walking in darkness, that's the world that we live in. If there's people here today, they would say, I'm a messed up person living in a messed up world. And can we just acknowledge that? I'm a messed up person living in a messed up world, and you're a messed up person living in a messed up world. The world that we live in is not quite right, is it? Darkness is a great word. There is disappointment, there is despair, there's disease, there's death, there's hurt, there's harm, there's hatred, and there's hostility, there's fighting, and there's factions. You know, as a father of five boys, I do fear for the world that my boys are growing up in. It's not a pleasant world all the time, is it? Now, I think our world is confused and it's complex. And people I meet are asking all these questions like, who am I and why am I here and what does it mean to be human and what is right and what is wrong and what is good and what is bad and is there a God and if there is a God, what's he like and does he care and is he there and am I really loved? They're all the questions that we're asking, and as we fumble around trying to find answers to those questions, what we really need is light. Light into our darkness and say, no, this is who we are, this is your purpose in life, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad, this is who God is. Because light brings you this clarity as to who we are and how to live in this dark world. And so the people walking in darkness, they needed a great light. And so who is that light? That reading from Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born. That is really bizarre that the light is a child. The light is a baby. Unto us a child is born. A son is given. So it's going to be this male child. And he's been given this wonderful name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Almighty Father, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So we're looking for somebody who will shine light into a dark world, who will bring peace and comfort and truth into our dark world. And the government will be on his shoulders. That's very strange. A child who will rule and reign with justice and righteousness. That's who we're looking for. And now here, Luke chapter 2. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord. So when Jesus steps into our dark, dark world, he is shining light into our messed up world. And I think that you need that, and I know I need that. Light in the darkness. Light and life. Again, another beautiful word, life. And there are three different words for life in the Bible. There's biological life, and that is rarely used, no, human life. There's psychological life, you know, your inner life, your inner peace, your inner being. That is sometimes used. But the most common use of the word life is the quality of life word. An abundant life. Life that is truly life, to quote Jesus. Life to the full, to quote Jesus. Life as it's meant to be lived. as we're meant to live as human beings. That's the kind of life that Jesus brings us. John chapter 1 says the true life was coming into the world. So when Jesus steps into our world, he's showing you how to live well as human beings. How to live well, to love God and to love other people. He's not just coming to bring you eternal life. He is bringing you that, but more than that, he's saying this is the best way to live. This is how to live as a human being well. That's what Christmas is about, God coming into this world to shine light into your dark world and to show you how to live well. Don't you want that? Here's my visual aid for this Christmas. It's the Advent candle wreath. And there's so much symbolism in this. The word Advent, it just means come. It comes from the Latin word Adventus, or the Aramaic word Maranatha. Come, come. Because the people of God have been waiting and wanting and looking and longing for 400 years. There is 400 years between the end of Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, and the birth of Jesus. 400 years of looking and longing and wanting and waiting. That's why there are four candles. Each candle representing 100 years of waiting for light to come and waiting for life to come. And most of the candles are a purple color, because purple is the color of royalty or kingship. So they're waiting for a king to come. They're looking for the perfect king to come. And a candle is a great symbol of light, because if you're in a dark place and you light a candle, suddenly you can see, and as you light more and more candles over the Advent season, you get more light into your darkness. It dispels the darkness. And then in a circle, because a circle has no beginning, it has no end, it is eternal, just like God is eternal. But each candle is different. So the first candle that we lit on week one of Advent is the candle of hope. Jesus shines hope into our hopeless world. And hope is a beautiful word. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a pipe dream. It's not like when I say, I hope England win at cricket this summer, because they never do. So, in fact, I could say, I hope England win at rugby, they never do, and soccer, they never do, and athletics, they never do. And you know, it's not like saying, I hope this happens, but I really know deep down it's not really going to happen. No, hope in the Bible is something that is certain in the future. Something that's guaranteed in the future that you know is definitely going to happen that changes your today. A certainty for then that's going to transform your now. And we all need hope. What do we say? Don't lose hope, because hope motivates us. Hope gets us out of bed in the morning. We're fueled by hope. And that first Christmas, hope came into our world. Hope shone into our world, because this baby that we're looking for, he was given two different names. Remember that? Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. The angel said to Joseph, you will name him Jesus, because he will forgive his people from their sins. Jesus means God saves. That's what the name Jesus means. God saves. Because the hope of a Savior is what we all need. The hope of someone who will forgive us and redeem us is what we all need. To be set free. Set free from sin and set free from suffering and set free from injustice and inequality. That's why Jesus came. You've been watching the news this week of those five remaining Bali Nine who've just been brought back to Australia. What I love about that story is they haven't been brought back to be put back into jail. They've been brought back to be given a second chance, to be set free, to live a different type of life. That's why Jesus comes to, as your Savior, to, yes, save you from your sins, yes, to forgive you from your sins, but more than that, to set you free. Set you free from this captivity, this slavery, this bondage to all the stuff that is not good for you. And the hope that one day, the hope of one day, and I know this is going to be beautiful for some people here, this hope one day there's going to be no suffering and no sin and no sickness and no sadness and no hurt and no harm and no poverty and no pain and no injustice and no inequality. That hope of the future called heaven, that's what we live for, isn't it? Because we're praying, come, come, come. He's already come at Christmas. He is going to come again to usher in this perfect kingdom. That's our hope, the hope of a Savior. But he had another name, didn't he? His name was Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the hope. We have a hope in a God who is present, not absent. A God who is with us, not without us. A God who is near, not far. And when you're going through those tough times, those rough times in life, that word Emmanuel, it takes on a whole new meaning. Because you know God is there, you know God is caring, and you know that God's in control. I love the phrase in Romans 5, verse 5, that says, hope does not disappoint us. Isn't that a great phrase? Hope doesn't disappoint us. It's saying hope won't let you down. Hope is not a trick. Can you imagine if the Magi went that distance to find the Christ child, and when they arrived, they were like, oh no, that was just a trick, he wasn't really there. Or imagine that Mary, the teenage virgin who is pregnant and facing outcast and ostracism, if she gave birth to a child and then God said, the angel reappeared, oh, I was just tricking you, he's not really the Messiah. Or the shepherds, they rushed off to Bethlehem and they found the stable, but they found animals there, but no child. That is not hope. That is a cruel trick. Hope doesn't disappoint you. Hope is the anchor for your soul. It's that stability, that security, that confidence that God will keep his word. And so in Jesus, you do have a Savior. You do have a God who's with you. That is not going to change. So dear Jesus, you are the hope in my messy world. This Advent, help me to slow down, listen to your voice, and focus on what's really important. We place our hope in you as we prepare our hearts to celebrate your birth this Christmas. So he shines hope. The second candle is the candle of peace. And again, peace is a beautiful word. Peace is not the absence of trouble or the absence of trials. Peace is the presence of Christ. The presence of Christ in our messy, messed up world. Jesus said, peace be with you, my peace I leave you. Jesus called himself a Prince of Peace. I remember that peace has that double meaning. It's that the peace with God and the peace of God, that upward peace and that inner peace, that friendship with God again and that calmness in your chaos. And that's what Jesus shines into our dark world, peace. We can live our days on earth at peace with God, being friends with God again. If you ever had a broken friendship, you know that feeling, that moment when the person who has wronged you comes to you and says, I am so sorry. And when that other person says, oh, that's okay, I totally forgive you. And they didn't just say the words, I forgive you, but they hug you and they embrace you and they treat you as though you've never fallen out. That is Christmas. God is saying, whatever you've done, I forgive you. And like a big hug from God saying, we're friends again. You have peace with me. That's why Jesus came. He came low to find you. If you ever lost anything precious, I remember being at a Christmas party and someone lost their diamond from their engagement ring, and we were all on our hands and knees on this horrible carpet. It was this patterned 1970s carpet, and looking for this diamond, I'm like, this is impossible. And then someone found it. It's like a needle in a haystack, but you get down on your hands and knees because it's precious. And in a way, that is Christmas. God came down onto his hands and knees. God took on flesh to find you. To find you. Because you're precious to him and he wants to be friends with you. You have this peace with God. And I still remember that first Christmas 35 years ago, when as a 20-year-old I understood Christmas for the first time. For the first time in my 20 years on this earth, I understood peace. Because it's like Jesus came for me personally. It's not just peace with God, it's that inner peace, it's that peace of God, the calmness, the security that amongst all the chaos, you're okay. It's Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Again, let me be very clear. He's not saying that you won't suffer, you won't face trials, but he does say, in the midst of your sufferings and trials, you are not afraid, because Christ is your rock. So, dear Jesus, you entered our world on Christmas as the Prince of Peace. This Advent, would you fill us with a deep and abiding peace? Help us to share that peace with everyone we encounter, especially those who need it most. So he shines hope, he shines peace. And the third candle is a different color. Because remember, the purple is a color of royalty, and it's also a color of fasting and penance and repentance. But our third candle is a candle of joy. Hope, peace, and joy. That's why it's pink, because it's not sad. It's happy. It's joy. Remember when John the Baptist met Jesus in the womb, and he says that John the Baptist leapt for joy. Or the shepherds returned praising God and leaping for joy. The angels said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all people. Good news of great joy. So Christmas is about joy entering our world. And maybe you've had a difficult year with messy relationships and messy jobs and messy families and ratty kids and horrid, horrible holidays and empty dreams. And that promise of joy, it sounds amazing. Let me be very clear that joy... joy is different to happiness. I've said this before. Happiness is your surface emotion, and joy is your deep-seated emotion. Happiness depends on your happenings. Your happiness changes with your circumstances. Happiness is like the rain. It's here one day, it's gone the next. Comes and goes. But joy is this deep-seated security and contentment and satisfaction and confidence that is always there no matter what is happening. A bit like the sun, it's always there. Some days you can see it, other days you can't see it, but even when you can't see it, the sun is always there. And even when you can't see the joy, it's always there deep within you. That's what Jesus offers. He shines joy into your dark world. The joy of knowing that you are a child of God. The joy of knowing that you are always loved and held by God. Isaiah 12 verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. He's saying that when you know you're saved and you know you're safe with God, there is deep-seated joy. It is okay to feel sad. Things happen in life that make you weep. Please don't be those awful Christians who just smile at everything and say, everything's going to be okay. Stiff up a lip. Now, tears and sadness are part of our right emotions. But in the midst of that, you have deep-seated joy. And when you found joy, you want to share it. Share the joy. Proclaim the joy. I was walking with a friend on Wednesday near Balmoral, and we were walking along, and suddenly this random guy came running up to us and said, I found it. I was like, what? And he pointed to a chain around his neck and a ring on the chain, saying, I found it. I'd lost it on the beach, and I found it. And then he walked off. I haven't got a clue who that guy was. I've never met it in my life before, but we just happened to be there, and he had this moment of joy that he just wanted to share. And that should be Christmas. This joy that you just long to share with other people, like the shepherds who went off proclaiming and praising God. So, dear Jesus, help us to focus on you this busy season. May we stay aware of the joy that you bring into our lives. We want to find that joy in the everyday moments and come with hearts of gratitude to your manger at Christmas. So Jesus shines hope and peace and joy, and the last candle is the candle of love. Because Christmas is about love coming down. The Bible says that God is love, 1 John 4, God is love. Not just loving, but his essence is love, his being is love. And 1 John 4 says, this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us. So please don't think that you love God perfectly, we don't. But God loves you perfectly, and God's love for you never changes. This is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his Son. That is Christmas, God sending his Son because he loves us. As a famous missionary said, God would have sent his Son if you were the only human being on this earth because he loves you. I love the story of the busy working mum who's doing her last minute Christmas shopping. And if you've got kids, you'll understand this. She had 3 hours to shop without her children in tow. And she finished early after 2.5 hours. She had half an hour to spare. She thought, oh, I'll sit down and have a cup of coffee by myself. No kids around. And she sat down in a coffee shop, and then the door opened to the coffee shop and her heart sank. Because in walked a man that she knew, and he was a bit of a talker. And he spotted her and came up to the table and said, oh, do you mind if I join you? And she's thinking, oh, I do mind, actually. Of course you can join me. And he talked, 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 and he talked. And he stopped, and he said these words to her. I'm so thankful you were here today. I just needed some company. I feel so alone and so unloved. I feel so alone and so unloved. And that is how many people feel in our world. We are more connected than ever before, but more lonely and more unloved than ever before. Maybe that's you tonight, feeling alone and unloved. And Christmas is God saying, you're never alone, you're never unloved, because Jesus came. And if you know that, friends, this is a challenge. We are called to share love to other people. As Christians, there should never be people who feel unloved or alone, because we can be the hands and feet of Jesus, can't we? And maybe this Christmas, God is calling you to give up some of your precious time to sit with somebody who feels alone and unloved, to care for somebody who feels alone and unloved, so that you can shine the love of Jesus into their life. So, dear Jesus, may the light of your love always shine in our hearts. As Christmas draws closer, we marvel at your great love for us. Please let your love transform every aspect of our lives
and touch everybody that we encounter. So this is Christmas. Jesus shines hope into your hopeless world. He shines peace into your broken world. He shines joy into your world and shines love into your life. And I believe that's the light that we all need this Christmas. A light of hope and peace and joy and love. I'd like to stand as we say the final Advent collect for this season. So join with me. Raise up your great power, Lord, and come against us, amongst us to save us, that although through our sins we are grievously hindered in running the race that is set before us, your plentiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us. Through the sufficiency of your Son, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever.